Begin the current daf Maseches Bamitzia daf Samach. Begin on the bottom line of daf Nun Tes Mabez, where we continue with the next mishnah on the theme of this parak, which we discuss in Halachas Avinah regarding price fraud, which comes into business dealings. So the mishnayos continue on this theme about falsehood in business dealings. So the mishnah begins Eim Arvin Peiris BePeiris. If a homeowner tells to somebody else, "I'm going to sell you the fruits, the produce of this field," for this amount of saw, that amount of measurements, he's not allowed to go ahead and mix in the produce of other fields. And says the Mishnah, even though they're both new produce, he's not allowed to go ahead and mix them because he designated, he said he's going to sell from this field, he can't mix produce from another field. And you continue on top of Samach Aman Aleph, you don't have to say that it's forbidden to mix in new produce with old produce. In other words, if he had made up with him that he's selling him old produce, he's not allowed to mix in new produce. And the reason for that is because grain, old produce that's dry, it's easier to make flour out of it than the new. So not only are you not allowed to go ahead and add in new to the old, but as the Mishnah said, you can't even mix new with new. What you made up is what you have to sell. Now, says the Mishnah, Be'emes Amru, in truth they said, B'yayin, regards to wine, it is permitted to mix in different things in specific cases. He tiru la'arav kasha barach. They permitted to mix in strong wine into mild wine. Nemneishu mashpichay, because it makes the strong wine makes the mild wine better. So therefore, if he lets a maid up with him to sell him mild wine, he's allowed to mix in strong wine. Now, as Rashi points out, specifically it was saying that you're allowed to mix in strong wine when you're selling mild wine, but you cannot mix in mild wine when you made up to sell strong wine, because if you made up to sell him strong wine, then it doesn't make it better. When you add, it would make it worse when you add in the mild wine, and then you cannot add. So to Rashi says that you didn't have to say regarding the halacha of the Isser by Peiros that the halacha was specifically by adding new Peiros into old Peiros. But again, if you add in the old when you made up to sell the new, which that makes it better, then it would be permitted, again, because that would be mashbiyachid. Same halacha that you're allowed to mix the strong wine into the mild wine. Now, continues the Mishnah, Eim arvin shimri yain b'yain. The person is not allowed, who's selling, not allowed to mix the sediments of the wine, which are those PC things that are in the bottom of the wine, not allowed to mix that together with the wine that you're selling. The Gemara will explain this halacha. Avam nois le'a shemarov. But you're allowed to mix in, put in its sediments, which that's the Gemara is going to explain that. Similarly, it says you cannot mix sediments, and then it says you could mix its sediments. Continues the Mishnah, Mishnas Arav Main Beyeno. If someone mixed water into his wine, so Loyim Karena Bachanos, he's not allowed to sell it as himself, as a storekeeper, as a retailer, meaning pruta, a coin at a time, meaning when they come, someone just comes to buy retail. Elim Kein Hoidiyoy, unless you notify every single person that comes to buy that I just want you to know that water is mixed in. And v'loy l'tagar, and neither is he allowed to sell it to a merchant who that's he would sell the whole batch to at one shot, and that's even afal pi shaydiyu, even if he notifies him and he tells him that there's water mixed in. The reason being is she'ein ela l'ramas bay, because that merchant is going to go ahead and fool people and sell it himself pruta by pruta in the store. He's going to set up a shop and he's going to sell it, and he's going to deceive people because he's not going to tell them that there's water mixed in. So the person himself could sell a cup at a time, a bottle at a time as a retailer and tell them he mixed in water. But to sell it to someone else who's going to sell it to other people, you can't, because he's not going to let them know and he's going to deceive them, and therefore you can't sell it to him. But says the Mishnah, Mokum Shenogu Lahatl Mayim B'Yayin, in a place where the custom is to mix water into wine to dilute it, then Yatilu, then the sellers are allowed to mix in the water. The reason being, because since that's the custom, so there's no more error anymore, because everyone assumes that that's how wine is sold, that it's not sold pure, undiluted wine, but rather diluted, and therefore you're allowed to do that. Now, Hatagar, talking about a merchant, Neitel Mehe Granis, he's allowed to take from five different threshing houses, silos, but Neitel Tech Megura Achas, and put it into one of his own silos. In other words, regarding the merchant, everybody knows that the produce that he's selling didn't come from his own fields, and that he buys from many different people. That's what he is. He's a merchant. And it's with that assumption that they come to buy from him. So he's allowed to buy from five different places and put it into one silo, which is a storehouse where they store the produce of the threshing house, which is where they thresh it and they winnow it, the produce. So it's normal for the merchant to go ahead and buy from many different people at the time of the threshing, has them put into his own silo, so therefore he's allowed to do that. Because people don't assume, oh, I bought this from him, and then they're going to think they're getting the same product, and they're going to get something else. It's not deceitful, because everyone knows that the merchant doesn't sell just his own stuff. He gets from many different people. So too, mehegitis v'nislintech pitim echad. He could buy from five different wine presses and put into one barrel, put into one storage place, because again, everyone knows that his wines are not exclusive and they're from different distributors. But says the Mishnah, as long as his intention is not to specifically to mix it up, in other words, that the word will go out, that people will know that the majority, people will know because the majority of his stuff are good quality stuff. And they say, oh, he gets his stuff from there. And the truth is he does. But now he's going to buy some other stuff from other places to mix it up. But everyone thinks he only gets his stuff from that place. That you can't do. You can't try to be deceitful. If everyone thinks you get just from that company and they're coming to buy from you, then you're not allowed to buy other stuff and then sell it. And someone thinks, this tastes different. And they're unaware. Again, a regular tagger could mix it together. But you can't be with as your intention to deceive people by everyone thinking you're from one place and then getting from other places and selling it under the guise of that assumption that you're selling the other stuff that's much better. So the Gemara explains the halacha of our Mishnah by quoting a Braisa. Tan Rabban, Ein Tzarich Leima, says the Braisa to explain the first halacha of our Mishnah regarding that you're not allowed to mix different produce when you're selling it. Says the Braisa, Ein Tzarich Leima, you don't have to say, if Chadash is mi arba, when we said you're not allowed to mix old with the new, we don't have to say that if the new produce is sold at 4 saw for a seller, the yeshanis mishalish, and the old, which we said is much better, high quality, that's why you can't mix new with the old, and therefore the old is more expensive, you could only buy 3 saw for the same amount of money for a seller. That says the price, of course, the halacha, we didn't have to say the ema arvin, that you're not allowed to mix in, as the Mishnah said, new produce into the old, because since the assumption that the person is selling it is that he's selling an old stuff. So it comes out he's actually committing ayna, he's frauding him, and he's selling him something that's cheaper under the guise that it's something that's more expensive. Ella, but rather, says the Braisa, the chiddush of the Mishnah's halacha is, afil chadashis mishalish vishanis mi'arba. Even if the new produce that he's adding in is actually more expensive, you can only buy 3 saw for a seller, whereas the old you could actually buy more, you get 4 saw for a seller. That's the chiddush that even there in Ma'arvan did not let it mix in, even though the new is actually more expensive. In other words, the reason why the new produce is not because it's better. It's actually not as good as the old. But it's just that people want to hold on to it for a longer time, that it could age, because they don't want to use it right now. So that's why they're going to spend more money on the new than the old. And that's why actually the price is more expensive for the new. But this guy who's buying from him and he made up he's going to buy from him old stuff is because he doesn't want to hold on to it to age it. And therefore, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though what you're mixing in is more expensive, you're not allowed to mix in the new into the old, even though it's more expensive. So the Mishnah said, Be'em of Summer, that in truth they said, however, that Be'yayin, in regards to wine, he tiru la'arav kosher barach, you're allowed to mix in, if let's say you made up to sell him mild wine, you're allowed to mix in strong wine, because it makes it better. So that you're allowed to add in. Now, Amr Belazi says, Ado Amra, the word Ado is the word Zeis, which is like when the Gemara always says Zeis and Meres. This comes to tell us that Kol Be'emes Amr, wherever we find the term that in truth they said, Halacha, that's coming to tell us that that is the Halacha. And the reason being is because in the fact that the Mishnah gives the reason of this Halacha by saying, Mimnesh Mashbicha, because it makes it better, so there's obviously nothing to find flaw in that reasoning. And the Mishnah, when it comes to describe that halacha, says be'emes amru, it's obviously coming to tell us that the word be'emes in truth is saying that that is the halacha, that is the law, and that there's nothing to find flaw in that, and that is everyone would agree that that is going to be the halacha. So that's what the Gemara incidentally says we find from this halacha. It says be'emes amru, and it says in the way of a clear-cut logic that it's coming to say whenever you say be'emes amru, that is the halacha. Now, Amar Nachmani, however, he qualifies this halacha that says you're allowed to mix in the strong wine into the mild wine that you're selling, that ubeina gisa ishanu. But what we're talking about is when does the strong wine make the mild wine that's being sold better, is only if it's during the time of the wine pressing, where it's freshly pressed grapes, that then they go, when you're going to mix in the strong wine into the mild wine, they're going to then ferment together. And it's going to create one distinct flavor. So that's going to be a good flavor. But after the wine presses, after the, each one already got their distinct flavor and aroma, then actually if you're going to mix in a, something else, even maybe a higher quality wine, which is the strong wine, it's not going to make it better. It's actually going to make it deficient. And therefore then, it would not be permitted to mix it. Now that, the Gemara asks, but today, the Kama Arvish Shalei Benekites, where people do mix together the strong wine with the mild wine, even though it's not during the time of the wine press. How do we do that? If it's not being Mashbiach, it's being Mefagim, and we said you're not allowed to do that. So Amar Papa, says, Diyadi. Everybody knows that that's what everybody does, v'komachli, and they're meichel, they're forgiving on it. You're right, it actually makes it worse, but everybody knows, everybody does it. If you're buying something, you know that he did it, and therefore you are essentially consenting to that when you buy. He gives a different answer for that. He says, no, Hamani, who is it that we follow today that we allow people to mix in, even though it's going to make it worse? Is Rabachi, it's like Rabacha, the time like Lunna Braisa, Rabacha Matr Bedava Hanitim. Rabacha permits to actually make things worse that you're mixing in when you're coming to sell something, if it's something that a person usually tastes before he buys. And that the person himself could taste that and differentiate and realize it. And if he still goes and buys, he's obviously consenting to it. And that's why it's permitted. Because it's something that a person could taste, and people generally taste the wine before they buy it. So therefore, he is implicitly consenting, and that's why we permit mixing, even though it's not during Bein Nagisas in today's times. Now the Mishnah said, Ve'ima arvin shimmer yayin b'yayin. You're not allowed to mix the sediments of the wine into the wine that's being sold. Aval nice and leshema, but you could put in its sediments. Ask the Gemara, how do you resolve these two statements? Ve'amad reisha, in the beginning you say, Ein ma'arvin klal. You're not allowed to mix in sediments, the PC parts of the grapes that are on the bottom of the wine, into the wine. And then you say, but you could mix it in. So the Gemara says, v'chitem, and if you're going to say, my nois and l'shmob, what does the second half of the statement mean when it says that you could put in its elements? It means the kamoi delay, it means when you notify him. So you're right, you're not allowed to mix it in because that's fraudulent. But if you tell him that, then you're allowed to. And that the Gemara asks, but Menegtani Sefer, from the fact that the Mishnah later on says, it says, lo yim kurenu bechanos, elim kemoidia. It says, if water was mixed in, we said you're not allowed to sell it by yourself, unless you notify people. If you're a retailer, you tell each consumer that you mixed in water, then it's permitted. And you're not allowed to sell it to a merchant at one time, even if you notify him, as we said, because he's going to deceive other people with it. Now, this part, this halacha of the Mishnah, differentiates between notifying the consumer or not. Now, machlal, the reisha, that would infer that the reisha, meaning the halacha that we're discussing, that says that, but you could put in the shemarav, is obviously Afgav Delaymoy delay, even though you don't notify him. Because if it was based on notification, then it should have said the same way the end of the Mishnah says, Elim Kein Hodia. So if this was the halacha you're saying, it should have also said the same wording, Elim Kein Hodia. Obviously, it's not the principle of Hodia. So how do we understand? When are you allowed to be Nasan Lai Shemarav when you say right before that, that you're not allowed to mix in the Shemarav? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Halchakama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Ein Ma'arvin Shemarav Mishal Emesh. You're not allowed to mix in the sediments from yesterday, meaning the wine that you had processed yesterday that was sifted and you had the sediments left in the bottom, those sediments you cannot mix in bishal yoyim into the wine that you sifted today because the sediments of the other wine will ruin the wine of today. So to v'lo shal yoyim bishal emesh, you can't take the sediments of today and mix it into the wine of yesterday. Because that's actually the precise wording of the Mishnah, you could put in its sediments, meaning from that wine itself, that you, when you emptied out the wine and you left the sediments on the bottom, you could put in those sediments into that wine itself. Now, as Rashi points out, to say today's sediments and yesterday's sediments is not precise that in that sense. It would be even if they're both today, but the concept is regarding two different barrels, two different lines of wine. It's just that saying in the normative way, where generally today's and yesterday's are from two different barrels. That is the concept where you can't mix two different wines' sediments with the other wine, but its own sediments you can mix into the wine. So the Gemara Tanam Hach is similar in the Brayse. Yehuda Imri says, "Hashayfi yain lechaveroi." which Rashi says the word shayfi is from the word of shefi, of calm, of quiet. Anything that's liquid, it's poured softly from one vessel to another, because the purpose is that the piece on the bottom should not go into the next cup, is called shayfa. So someone that pours wine to his friend, he's not allowed to mix in yesterday's sediments into today's wine that he's pouring him. And neither today's wine from today's sediments from yesterday's wine. But you can mix yesterday's sediments with yesterday's wine, meaning from the same batch. And today's from today's, again, because that's not going to ruin it. That's part of that same wine that is permitted to mix in, even though he doesn't want the sediments, but that's part of the process, and you're allowed to mix it in. But the other batches, wines, cannot be mixed, because that would ruin it. Now, the Mishnah said, Mishnah Arav Maim B'Yenoi, if someone had mixed water into his wine, he already diluted it. He's not allowed to sell it in the store. Unless he notifies the consumer to say it's not undiluted wine, as you would think, I mixed in water. And we said for a tagger, for a merchant, you never allow to, because he's going to sell to other people and he's not going to notify them. He's going to be deceitful and therefore you can't sell to them. Now, regarding that halacha of the tagger, the Gemara brings the following incident. Rava, they brought to him wine from a store. Now, Mazge, as was Rava's custom, he diluted the wine. And timer, and then he tasted it. And loy have a basim. It didn't have a good aroma, it didn't have a good taste. So Shadri Lachanus, the return policy, gave it back to the store. So Amli Abaya said to Rava, but now we learned in our mission that says Vulila Tagar, you're not allowed to give diluted wine to a merchant, Afa Pisha idea, even if you notify the merchant, because he's going to use that wine to deceive others. Now, as Rashi points out, selling to a store is the same thing as selling to a merchant, meaning because that person, whether the store or the merchant, is going to go ahead and sell to other people under the guise that it's full-fledged, strong, undiluted wine. Now, the problem is that there's water mixed into it, and what he was telling to Rav is that you did sell it back, you gave it back to the store, and now you're violating the Isra of Lifnei Iver, because now you're going to cause them to violate the Isra, and they're going to sell other people under the guise of that it's undiluted wine. So Amalisa, Rabbi said to him, no, Mazgididi made the idea. My diluting is easily recognizable because I put in a lot of waters. No one is going to make a mistake and think that this is undiluted wine, so they can't go ahead and deceive people with it. So it's no problem that I returned the wine to the store. Now, says Rava, and V'chitim, and if you're going to say that the Tafi Umachaile, that no, maybe it is a problem. Because maybe, you know what the store is going to do? Yeah, they can't sell it as is, as if it's regular undiluted wine, because everyone can tell how much water is in it. But they're going to go ahead and bring fresh, strong, undiluted wine and mix it into my diluted wine until it won't be recognizable all the amount of water that I put in. And then, umazmali, and then they're going to sell it with deceiving others. And that says, Rav, Imkain, if that would be the case that we have to suspect that much, then there's really no end to being a conspiracy theorist. Because then you're not allowed to sell even water to a store, because maybe they're going to go ahead and take that water and mix it into wine. So rather, what Rava was pointing out to Abaye was that the concern of selling to a merchant, to a store, is only if the thing that you're selling, they could sell as is and deceive others, that's forbidden. But mine, which is obviously not in regular water, which you would have to do something to create that into something deceitful, that's not forbidden to sell to a merchant or to a store. Now, the Mishnah said, but Mokum Shinogu Lahatil Maim Biyayin Yatilu B'chulu. But if it's a place where their custom is to mix water into the wine to dilute it, then it's permitted and it's not considered deceitful. Now, Tanu Litna Braisa that says, Lamechtza L'shlish Ravia. This halacha is for half, a third, or a quarter. In other words, it goes all according to the custom of that country. That's how much water you're allowed to put in. If it's the custom in that place to put in half water, then you can put in half. If they're to put in a third, then you put in a third. Amrav, he qualifies this halacha that Ubein Hagisa Shanu, this halacha that it was permitted to put in water in those customs, was talking about during the wine press season. That's when we'd put it in, but at later point in time, that was not permitted. That wasn't a custom, and then it wouldn't be permitted to mix in water. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah and of the previous Mishnayis regarding dishonesty in business dealings. So Rabbi Yehuda Aima, he says, Lo yichalik hachenvani, the storekeeper is not allowed to give out free items of kaloyos, which are when there's the grain is moist. They would dry it in the oven and make it into some type of a toasted grain, which is always a sweet type of a nash, or vergeisen, or to give out nuts, litinakis, for children, Because what he's doing is he's habituating them to come to him because he's giving out free stuff, nash to them, and then they're all going to come. It's a dishonest business practice because they're all coming just for him because he's giving out nash. But the sages permit one to do that type of a practice. Now continues the Mishnah. A person is not allowed to sell below market value to sell very cheap because, again, he's going to make people come to him and he's going to be undercutting the livelihood of all his competitors. But the sages say that no, he should be remembered for the good because by selling so cheap, then the wholesalers, the ones who actually produce the pears, they're going to be selling much cheaper because they see that the market value is that much lower and it's going to be better for all consumers. Continues the Mishnah, lo yover es agrisen. Grisen are crushed beans with a mill, which were cut into, one piece gets crushed into two pieces. So he's not allowed to sift out the refuse part because by doing that, he makes it look refined and pure and he's going to end up charging that much more, way more than the value which was then when it was mixed together, which is it's worth less. But he's by taking out that psilis, he makes it out actually that he could charge much, much more, which is not commensurate with the amount of refuse that he took out. That's Debi Abishal. But for Chamatim, the sages permitted, and the Gemara explained the reason for that. Now, it continues the Mishnah, but Umaydim, but the sages agree, Shlo Yavar Me'al Pi Mugur, but you cannot just sift out and take out the refuse from what's on the top of the pile, which makes the whole pile look beautiful, but really all the refuse, all the not good parts that are inside, he actually didn't sort through, because that would be only like stealing from the eye, meaning to say by sorting out just the top part, it makes everything look, oh wow, this is a beautiful pile, it takes the whole pile, and inside is really all the junk, so that's deceitful, therefore that, they would agree, is not permitted to just sort out the top of the pile. So to a mefarchesen, the Gemara will explain what exactly that is, but one cannot beautify Adam, not a person that he's selling, meaning a non-Jewish slave that's being on the selling block. V'loyes a behema, and neither to just beautify an animal. V'loyes a kalim, or utensils that he's selling, can't just beautify them, make it look like wow, and really it's not the quality that it really is. So the Gemara explains the first halacha. My tamei d'rabban. What's the reason of the rabban, and why do they say that it's permitted, which seemingly it's a dishonest practice to have people come to your store and it's really you're not giving a better product, you're just having promotional items, you're giving out free stuff, then you're allowed to do that. So says the Gemara, because the Amalei, because that store owner who's giving out the nash to the kids, could tell his competitors, look, anon maflig nam guzi, I'm giving out nuts, vaat polichiski, and you give out prunes. In other words, promotional is part of marketing, and that's something that's permitted, and you could do the same thing for your practice, so therefore it's not something that I'm doing dishonest, you could do the same thing too. Now the Mishnah had another machloikas, v'layifches es ashar. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to sell below market value. V'chamim zarch l'tayv, and the sages said, no, he should be remembered for the good, v'chulu, etc. So they must, my time, the Rabbanon, what's the reason the Rabbanon, that they're saying that he should be remembered for the good, as if it's a blessing on that person's head, by selling below market value. So as the Gemara contains Amud Beis, Mishum de Komarvich Latara, because what he does is actually expanding the market, meaning the ones who are the wholesalers will see that the market has gone down, and then they're going to sell it much cheaper, which is better for everybody, for the consumers, and therefore he should remember it for the good. Now the Mishnah said another machlokes, V'lo yover es agrisen deri Abishol. Abishol said that you're not allowed to sift out from the crushed beans the refuse. V'achamatim, however, the sages permit it. So the Gemara asks, Man Chacham, who are the sages? Says the Gemara, Rabacha, it's Rabacha. The Tanakh, Linda Breiser, Rabacha, Matir, Bedava, Hanira. Just like we said that he permits that which can be tasted, he also permits that which is visible, which could be seen. In other words, the consumer could see and discern what is the value of the refuse that was removed from this product in comparison to others which were not removed. And he could figure out on his own how much more is that of value because of the effort that was put in. And if he decides to pay five times the amount for just taking out the seeds in the watermelon, and that's for him, it's worth it, so then it's worth it, but it's visible. There's nothing deceitful about that. You can go ahead and do a practice that's visible for the person. Therefore, the Abishol held that was inappropriate because you're going to be charging much more than really what the value is of taking it out. But Rabacha held that no, that is permitted. Mishnah said, "Im mefarchesin, one cannot beautify loyas adam, not the person that you're selling b'chul, etc. B'loyas kelim, and not utensils." So Tanan Banan learned a brisa that expounds on this halacha and says, "A misharvitin es abehema." The word misharvitin is from the word sharvit, which the Gemara later on will explain, which is that he makes the hair of the animal stand on edge like a stick, which makes the animal look robust. So you're not allowed to do that. You cannot blow up the intestines of an animal, where if someone's selling some type of intestines in the butcher store, you're not allowed to blow it up. That makes it look wide and big and beautiful. And you're not allowed to soak the meat in water, which whitens it, and it makes the lean meat look fatty. Again, these are all deceitful practices. So explains the Gemara, my aim is Misharvit, and what does it mean that you're not allowed to be Misharvit the animal? So Hachar Targimu, here they translate it, means Mayad Chizri. They would give the animal to drink bran water, which would blow up its intestines, and then would make its hair stand on an edge. That's how they would be Misharvit the hair. Again, that's a dishonest practice. Ziri Amar of Kahana, he says it's Mizkafta. What they would do is they would do what's called Kirtzuv, which is they would take these wide bristles on these combs and comb the hair of the animal to make it stand on edge. Again, that would be a different approach of being Mesharvit, the hair of the animal. Again, a dishonest practice. Now, however, the Gemara does, and we'll ask from this halacha, the Gemara said that Shmuel, Shara Lamir Matume, Shmuel permitted to put on these fringes, to beautify a garment. They would put on these fringes made out of strings of silk on like tassels from the edges of Lisarbala for a coat. So it would beautify the coat by having these fringes. Rabbi Yehuda shor lechaschuse. Rabbi Yehuda permitted to starch by putting on this type of bran water for krami for these garments that are embroidered, that are engraved. Rabbi shor lemedek tzrade. Rabbi permitted to bang these garments made out of canvas with these wooden sticks so that it makes the threads thinner and more refined. And Rabbi shor litzlume giri. He permitted to paint arrows. And Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Shorah Litzlumi Dikuli said that you're allowed to paint these wicker baskets. Now, that the Gemara asked, but V'anan Tzna'an, we just learned, which what we just quoted a second ago in our Mishnah, the aim of Archis, and the person cannot beautify Lo Yisa Adam, not a person, Lo Yisa Behemah, not an animal, Lo Yisa Kelim, not the utensils. You're not allowed to do things to make it look more glamorous than what it really is. You got to sell it as is. So how did they, all these Amiram, permit these practices that were adding a certain luster to it that really wasn't intrinsic to the artifact itself? Says the Gemara Lekash, it's not a difficulty. Ha b'chadati. All these cases of these Amiram that were permitted were by new objects, which they were just beautifying it. And if someone wants to pay more because it looks prettier, so then he's forgiving on that money. He likes that it was airbrushed. They like what was done to it. Ha batiki. But this in our Mishnah was talking about when it was old. That's called gnevis ayin, where now when you do certain things, you make it look new, that's dishonest practice, that's forbidden. So the Gemara explains actually, pirkas to odamahi, what is the, we said by an animal is making the hair stand on end when that's really deceitful. It's not new, it's actually a weaker animal making it look stronger. What is it by beautifying the person that's a dishonest practice? So the Gemara says, ki hodahu avda saba, as in the following, there was an old slave, the azl tzavi l'reisha l'diknei, that he went, his hair was, he was old and he had white hair. He went and he dyed the white hair of his beard and of his head. He dyed it black, so he looked like a younger man. So Aslaka made the rabbi, came in front of Rava. Amarle, he said to him, Zivnan, buy me for a slave. And he was a non-Jew, because as Rashi points out, a Jewish slave is forbidden after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because no Mayevul, and this was already after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So a non-Jew, and he said, buy me as a slave. So Amaleisa Rava said to him, quoting in Mishnah Masechtas Avos, Yiyu aniyim b'nei v'secha. Let the poor be the people of your household. In other words, it's better for me to support Jewish paupers to serve and then serve me than to hire you and take a non-Jew as a slave. So Asla Kamed Rapab Bar Shmuel, so he came in front of Rapab Bar Shmuel and Zavner, and he bore him as a slave. Yemechad Amalei, one day Rapab Bar Shmuel said to his slave, Ashkin Maya, come and give me water to drink. So Azal Chavri L'Reish L'Dikne, he then went and whitened, he washed off the dye of his hair, of his head, and his beard. Amalei, so the slave said to Rapab Bar Shmuel, Chazi, see, Da'no Kashash Ma'avuch, I'm older than your father. How do you expect me to go ahead and go and draw water for you? Sakari and Nafshei, Rabbi Bashmul recited on himself the Pasuk Mishlei, Tzaddik, a righteous person, Mitzar Nechlitz, is saved from a Tzara, from travails, which was a reference to Rava, who didn't get sucked into this false slave, but V'yava Achar Tachdam, and someone else comes and takes his place. That was me, I fell for it, I'm not such a Tzaddik like Rava, and here I bought this slave, and I was deceived because he's not a guy who's not going to be able to do much for me because he's really very, very old. That's a practice of Pirkus of Adam, which is forbidden because that is deceitful. Hadna l'chazav, we shall return to you the fourth perek, Mesechet Zba Metzia, perek Hazav. And with that, we begin the fifth perek in Mesechet Zba Metzia, perek Ezu Neshech, which discusses the halachas of ribis, which in a basic concept means to say when you lend someone money and then you take back more than what was lent. That's the basic concept of ribis. But actually, the passing of a yikra, Perek Chafei Pasuk Lamed Zayin, says, "As kaspacho leisitin lebeneshech, your money you're not allowed to give to the borrower with neshech, which literally means biting, uvemarbis, and with increase, leisitin nachlecha, you're not allowed to give your food, your produce, to someone else." So the Mishnah opens up and explaining these two terms that the Pasuk mentions when it talks about the prohibition of lending on interest, we call ribis. Ezehu neshech, vezu tarbis. What are these two terms that the Pasuk talks about? One of neshech and one of tarbis, which is the word that we usually use of ribis. So the Mishnah explains, ezu neshech. What is what we call neshech, which again comes from the word of neshech, of biting, where he takes from him what he didn't give him. He lent him a certain amount, and now he's taking back more than that. That's called neshech. He's biting into the borrower. So says the Mishnah, Hamalva sela behe dinarm. If someone lends a sela, which is only worth 4 dinarm, and with the expectancy that he can take back from him 5 dinarm. Or sasaim chitin b'shalish. He lends him 2 saw of wheat to take back 3. That's asav emneshu neshech. That's forbidden because you're biting into the borrower. You're creating a loss by him more than what you gave him. That's neshech. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ezehu tarbis. What is tarbis? Meaning, which is coming from the term of increasing, where it's hamarbe, where the lender is going to increase reward and profit by himself, the payers regarding produce. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara later on of Samach Alfam Beis will explain that the halacha of tarbis would apply so too by the lending of money or produce, because that would also cause an increase in the lender's money. Here, the Mishnah is defining the case of tarbis by rabbinic ribis, which is only through commerce, derech mekka chamemka. Biblical ribis is through a loan. Here, actually, the Mishnah is going to describe it through business dealings, which is rabbinic ribis, but the halach of tarbis applies on the biblical level, even by lending. So it says the Mishnah Ketzad. So what's the case of that the lender, which it's not really lender here, the seller is going to actually gain more than what he gave, and therefore that's going to be forbidden. So it says the Mishnah as follows. Lokachim, actually it's the, in this case it's going to be the buyer who would be gaining, and that's going to be forbidden. So lokachim enachitin bediner zahav. If somebody purchased from somebody else wheat for golden dinar, which is worth 25 silver dinar. And how much wheat did he buy? He bought hakur, a kur, which is a certain amount. Now, says the Mishnah, there's a lot of different complicated concepts of ribis that are actually mixed into this one case, but we'll explain it as it is, and then as the Gemara goes on, it'll explain all these different points. V'chein hashar. Now, that was actually the market value, which was already established that it was being sold for that at that point in time in this city. Now, so therefore, since that's the market value, it's permitted to do what's called pisuk. It's permitted for the consumer to give the money now on the condition that the seller is going to provide for him the wheat, not just right now, but during the interim of the whole entire coming year for that amount of money that he gave him right now. Now, moreover, what's significant for this halacha is even if the seller doesn't have wheat right now, generally, the permissibility of doing called pisuk, which is making up, giving money right now for getting produce that's going to be delivered at a later point in time, which you could run into problems that way because then the actual value of the produce might go up by then. And then that means to say when the seller is going to give the produce later on in the year and he had the money all that interim, so essentially the money was like a loan and he was going to give him produce worth more than what he got in money, that essentially would be ribis payment towards the borrower. But there is a permissibility if he has his own wheat, then we consider it as if it's already considered the buyer's wheat, it's just that he didn't deliver it yet. So says Rashi that the case that we're talking about over here is even if the seller doesn't have his own wheat, which generally that is the permissibility, still the Mishnah teaches us later on the Ayin Beis Mabeis that if Yatzah Hashar, if the market value of the whole city has already been established, so even if the seller doesn't have, but other sellers do have, and then the seller would very easily be able to acquire that product that he's selling to the buyer with the money that he got, that would be almost considered like yeshlei that he does have, and therefore this in its own sense would be permitted to go ahead and sell produce by getting the money now and giving it during the year. But the case continues. Then at a later point in time, the wheat went up in price and stood at balama dinar. So although the original price that the buyer paid for the seller were 25 dinar, which was a dinar zahav, later, before he ever went and delivered it, it went up to a price of 30 dinar. Now again, as we said, for that itself, that would actually be permitted. As the Mishnah says, Amar loy, if the buyer says to the seller, ten lechitai, so give me my wheat. Meaning we made up, you're going to deliver it to me during the year of that wheat. So that itself would be permitted if he would give him the wheat. As we said, because if he had the wheat, so even if he didn't have the wheat, which we said is a concept of yeshloi, but another heter for what we call this pisuk of making up for later delivery is permitted if it was yotza hashar, and the shar, the market value was already established, that itself would be permitted. So he says, give me my wheat, shani roitza lomachran b'likh minyayin, because I want to sell that wheat. Now it went up in value, I can get a lot more for my money, and I want to buy wine with it. So amaloi, so the seller tells to the buyer, look, you don't really want the wheat that you bought for me, right? I know you bought it for 25, it went up to 30. I owe you the wheat, which is worth 30. But, harichitecha asuyi salai b'shalayshim, don't worry. Your wheat will be considered by me now that as if I owe you 30 dinar. I know you only paid me 25, but it's like I owe you 30 now because the price of wheat went up. V'hari lecho etzli behen yayin. It tells the seller, you want wine, that's why you want the wheat from me? Don't worry. I'm making up with you right now that I will later deliver to you wine at a price of 30 dinar. Now, that making up of the wine for the later price, meaning to later delivery for the price now of 30, that's forbidden. Now, the reason for that is it actually would be permitted if he had wine at that point in time. But the reason why it's forbidden is because the yayin ain loy, and the seller actually doesn't even have wine right now. And the problem that we're going to run into that, so therefore, since he's doing a pisuk right now, he's making up that he'll deliver at a later point in time the wine of 30 dinarim. Maybe by the time he delivers the wine will go up from that. Maybe it's going to go up to, let's say, 40 dinar. So even though right now he's making up with him, and the market value of wine right now has been established, still the Gemara and Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis will explain that this is forbidden. And the reason that is, the Gemara is going to explain what's different in this case is because Pisuk, when this Yotza HaShar is permitted when he got the money right now, as we explained in the first part of the case regarding the wheat. But since here he never got money, it's actually just a transfer of what he owes him regarding the wheat. He's transferring that onto the wine. Since he's not getting money right now, so he doesn't have money that he would be allowed and be able to buy from other people, which is the whole permissibility of Yotza HaShar. So that's why this case is going to be forbidden. And again, as we explained, this is a rabbinic prohibition of ribis regarding the case of pisuk, which is forbidden because it might go up in price, and then you're going to be giving the buyer, who in a sense is like the lender in this case, because it's like a loan, because he got the money and he didn't give him anything, he's delivering at a later point in time, since it might go up, that's considered rabbinic ribis because it's a case of mekech memker and not a real classical loan. That's the case of tarbis. So the Gemara actually makes an inference from the way the Mishnah sets up these two cases of Neshech and Tarbis. Says the Gemara, Midishavik l'ribis d'iraisav, and the fact that when it discusses the term in the Torah of Tarbis, it actually does not mention a biblical case of Tarbis. Because as Rashi points out, biblically, the halach of ribis would generally apply to a loan. As the Pasuk in Mishlei Chafchesi quotes, Mar Bahaini, the one who increases his wealth, b'neshech b'tarbis, which sounds like that it's through a loan. It doesn't mention that in the case of Tarbis. For Kumafarash Rabban, it only mentions a rabbinic case of ribis, which is through Mekach Memch, through business dealings, which would come out that one is going to be giving more than what he got, which will ultimately be like interest, which is a rabbinic yisr. So the Gemara makes the following inference. Machlal, so that would be inferred that the Raisa, that biblically, the Neshech v'Tarbis, Chad Milsi, that must be when the Torah, although it uses two different terms, one of Neshech of biting, one of Tarbis of an increase for the lender, that really they're the same thing. Because if Tarbis was actually fundamentally biblically something different than Neshech, then the Mishnah should have said the biblical case that where that's two different halachas. When the fact that it only says there have been a case must be because biblically actually Tarbis means the same thing as Neshech. And therefore, just to explain, we said a different case that would apply to Tarbis on the rabbinic level. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Vakroik Sivi. But we have Psukim that talk about Neshech Kesef regarding biting of money and Veribas Eichel. And this case of Tarbis regarding food, meaning the pasuk in Be'yikra that we quoted before, that says, "Es kaspecha leisitin lebeneishach." Your money you should not give him with neshach. Uvemarbis leisitin achelcha. From the fact that the pasuk splits it up into two different negative prohibitions, sounds like it's two different things. So why does the Mishnah make it sound like they're both the same thing, and therefore I had to say a rabbinic case? So the Gemara says, "Vetizbra, do you think it's logical the ikka neshach that you could have neshach, meaning that you could be biting into your friend, meaning to cause him a loss, but loy tarbis without having the lender's money increase, or vetarbis to have the lender's money increase and to get a profit, but loy neshach without biting into and causing a loss into the borrower?" Meaning, yes, it is clear, as the deek from our mission is, that neshach and tarbis is the same thing, because how could you have biting into the borrower, making a loss for him, and not having an increase for the lender, or the other way around? As the Gemara proceeds to explain that it's not possible to differentiate them as two different things. Because neshech b'lei tarbis heichadami, how could you conceptualize a case of causing a loss for the borrower, yet would not be a gain for the lender? So the Gemara entertains that, ida eisvei, if you would say where he lent him, meya, he lent him 100 copper coins, b'meyeva estim, on the condition that he's going to pay him back for 120. So, mi'ikara, so originally when he lends him the money, kaima mei bedanka. So, 100 copper coins was worth a danka, which is a silver ma. Well, the besaif, at the end, when he is paying him back, kaima mei ve'esem bedanka. Then, 120 copper coins is worth a silver ma, is worth a danka, which again, that's a sixth of a dinar. So, what are you going to say? Neshech ikka. So, there is Neshech, because they're called Nachesle, because he went and bit into the borrower and caused him a loss, because he's borrowed only 100 and he had to pay back 120 copper coins. The Kashakum in a Mididilayav, because he's taken from him something that he didn't give to him. But you'll say, Vitarbis Lekha, but there is no increase to the lender because of Lesle Ravcha, because he has no gain, because the Danka Isre, he lent him a Danka, a silver maw, Vidanka Kashakum in a, and he's taking back a Danka, because although it's 120 copper coins, which he only lent them 100, but it doesn't make a difference because the qualifier, which is the primary in the market, is the silver coin. He lent him a silver coin, he's only getting back a silver coin, so he's not really gaining anything. And that says the Gemara, no, because safe, at the end, ibasa mi'ikara azlas, either way you look at it, you can't have one and not the other. If you consider the copper coins based on the original when you did the loan, so harid neshech v'aritarbis, so then you have both. Because at that point in time, originally when the loan was, he went and for that ma that he was lending him, which was 100, there's a gain of 20. Because at that point in time, a ma was actually only 100 copper coins. And if he's giving back 120 copper coins, he could get a ma and have an extra 20 coins. So you actually have both. And ibasa b'seifas, if you're going to go at the end and qualify it then, so loy neshechik, then you actually don't have either one of them. Then you don't have any biting into the borrower because the borrower could, at that point in time, buy a ma, and that's the same thing as the ma that he lent him. And loy tarbisik, and neither is there a gain for the lender. So you don't have either one at the end. And v'su, moreover, tarbis b'loy neshechik dami. How you can have the other way? How you can have the lender having a gain without the borrower having a loss? If you're going to entertain this follows, ida is a meya b'meya. Let's say he lent him 100 copper coins to pay him back 100 copper coins. Me'ikara kaim mei b'danka, but originally when he gave him the loan, 100 copper coins was worth a danka, which as we said is a sixth of a dinar. Well, besides, and at the end when he's paying him up meya 100 copper coins, he actually could buy with that b'chumsha. He could buy a fifth of a dinar, which is more than a danka, which is only a sixth of a dinar. So he's not losing, but the lender is gaining because now it has a greater value. And that says the Gemara, no, because ibas and mikra azas, if you go based on originally, if you qualify each one individually. During the loan, loy neshechikav loy tarbesikav. There was no biting in, because he only gave him 100, he said, I'm only expecting 100 back, and there was no gain either. And ibas and b'saif azas, if you're going at the end, sorry, neshech v'harik tarbes, then you have both. Because now there is a loss, because the borrower actually is losing now by the fact of the difference, and the lender is gaining too. So Elam Rabbi, rather Rabbi says, as we had made the deek from the Mishnah, Iyata Moitzi, you cannot find Loineshech Bloy Tarbis, you can't have a biting into the borrower without having the lender gain. And Bloy Tarbis Loineshech, neither can you have a gain by the lender without biting into the borrower. Bloy Chilkana Kasav, so then why did the Torah separate them and write it in two different terms of Neshech and Tarbis? Ela Lava Labishne Lavin, rather to have the person who borrows and lends on interest to violate two negative prohibitions. One we call neshech, which is the biting into the borrower, and one we call tarbes, which is the gaining of the lender, but both of these are violations that are violated by the person who has a transaction of ribis.